The Bible and Modern Science with your host, Dr. Joseph Henson of the Science Faculty of Bob Jones University. Here is Dr. Henson.
Thank you. On the last program, we finished a series of programs in which we had been looking at the repeated biblical commandments involving use of the mind. The commandments that every believer stands under, simply to be aware of what's going on around them, to be spiritually perceptive, to be able to examine ideas or people or institutions and assess them in light of the Scripture correctly. I would like to go to one other area in this introductory portion of the taping that we're doing. It may seem a little peculiar to some, and yet I hope by the time we're through, it will have proved to be profitable for you. In some regards, it may be a little bit more helpful to some of our students, and I try usually to go, particularly with our freshman students, through this these series of verses on early in their schooling. But there are instructions here that I think can be helpful to all of us. In general, it has to do with the commandments in the Scripture involving, or rather not commandments, but the description in the Scripture of unregenerate men. The word unregenerate, for those of you that may not know, just means unsaved. An unregenerate person is a person who has never been regenerated. He's never become a new creature. He's never trusted the Lord as his Savior. So, what does the Scripture have to say about such individuals? It is almost automatic for some believers to think that every person around them is kind and sweet and caring and so on. If you are attempting to witness to people, then I would suggest to you that it is essential that you understand what the Scripture says about that person who has never trusted the Lord as their Savior. What about their nature? What is the problem that you are coming to them trying to help them with? If the person is polite or personable or moral or any one of another favorable adjectives we could use, the response oft say, well, you know, this person really is not that bad. This person is, in fact, there are some unbelievers who are much kinder than some believers. I remember a little girl's prayer some years ago. She was praying, said to help all the unsaved, to make all the unsaved people saved, and to make all the saved people nice. That is a problem. That is a difficulty, I think, for God. All people who have trusted the Lord as their Savior, unfortunately, are not nice. But it is important for us to understand how the Scripture describes that person who really has never trusted the Lord as their Savior. Again, I would like to look at some references in both Old and New Testaments, and if you have your Bible, turn with me, please, to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. For those of you that know this portion of the Scripture, this is pre-flood, and what we're getting ready to look at here is a description of unregenerate men who did not know God prior to the flood. Verse 5 of Genesis chapter 6. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart, his mind, was only evil continually. This, of course, was the reason for God's judgment. God had created Adam and Eve. Eve had fallen for Satan's temptation. Adam fell for that. And with that, there came a separation, a death. Even in that perfect environment, that happened. And after some centuries, what had man become? How had man changed since that first pair of humans walked the earth? Well, this verse is a description of God's assessment of man at that time. Every imagination of the thoughts of his mind was only evil continually. Is the condition of unregenerate men's minds today an improvement over this description written here in Genesis? And the answer to the question, of course, is no. Unsaved people today, unregenerate people today, have the same, we could describe them the same way. Every imagination of the thoughts of their mind is only evil continually, regardless of their kindness or their morality or any of the other pleasant adjectives we might use. The scripture says that this is their condition. And failing to understand that may put some stumbling blocks in the path of someone who is attempting to witness to them and present the claims of scripture to them. Now, if you'll look in Psalm 10 and verse 4, there is another verse that's worth our noting. Psalm 10, verse 4, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not at all in his thoughts." You have a very interesting word here used in connection with the wicked person. The reason that wicked person doesn't seek God is because of his pride. We could spend years of programs probably talking about how the average individual today is taught and coaxed and preached and urged to love themselves, respect themselves, etc., which is simply a constant barrage of information that is causing a person to exercise his own pride. And here the scripture tells us that it's because of pride that a wicked person simply will not seek God. As you might expect, in Proverbs, we will see there are a number of verses that deal with unregenerate men, unsaved men, and there is some rather perceptive description here of unsaved people. Please don't get in your head the idea that God does not love unsaved people. This is not what the scripture is saying. Scripture makes very plain that even in this condition that is described here, God loved us. And if you try and construe the idea of the description of the condition as being some indication of God not loving the sinner, then you're wrong. God does. But God's word is also very forthright in describing the nature of that individual. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." In Proverbs 9:10, you have essentially the same statement with one word changed. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the holy is understanding." Now please note carefully that the scripture is not saying that the fear of the Lord is knowledge, or that the fear of the Lord is wisdom. It's saying that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we may rightly conclude then that it simply is not possible for any person to be truly knowledgeable or truly wise who is not rightly related to God. It might be well for us to talk a little bit about the distinction between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge really is simply a process of gathering information. This is basically what a person is doing when he goes to school. You go to school, and hopefully, if you're in the right school, you are going constantly to be adding bits of information to what you have already learned. And that process of gaining factual information results in a person having knowledge. If what they have learned is true, and perhaps with some other ifs thrown in. At any rate, going to school is the process that we usually think of when we think of a person gaining knowledge. Please don't misunderstand here or in some of the other references that we're going to look at. I'm not trying to argue that a knowledgeable person is of no use, no benefit, that he can't, unless you have a PhD, then you're not intelligent or whatever. I'm not trying to argue that at all. And the scripture is not trying to argue that. It is simply saying here that true knowledge requires a proper relationship to God. Many unregenerate people are highly intelligent, have mental abilities that few of us probably have. But as we're going to see, even those abilities, at least the exercise of them, the Scripture describes as an abomination or a sin. And we'll come to a portion in Scripture later in Proverbs where we'll see that. Now, how about wisdom? Wisdom and knowledge are not the same thing. I think it is a rather basic notion in Scripture that anything in the Scripture which God has commanded you and me to do, He is not going to do for us. And He commands us in many places to gain knowledge. So God is not going to learn for us. He's not going to do our math for us. He's not going to think for us. But wisdom is a little bit different. Wisdom, the Scripture indicates plainly, is something that God has promised to help us with. In James, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not. All of us lack all the wisdom we need. Some of us lack almost any wisdom. But God has said, I'll help you with that. You come and ask me, and I will give you the wisdom, and I won't upbraid you. I won't fuss at you because you don't have wisdom. And many of us, I'm afraid, do not ask God to, in this area, to do for us what He is eager to do, and that is help us with wisdom. I suspect it is probably easier for God to help a knowledgeable person with wisdom than it may be for Him to help a person who doesn't have the knowledge with wisdom. But be that as it may, both of these are essential. And as we're getting ready to see, the unregenerate person simply, it's not that he doesn't have the ability to have them. Because of that failure of the right relationship with God, he can't be knowledgeable or wise. In Proverbs 10 and verse 20, the tongue of the just is as choice silver, the heart, the mind of the wicked is of little worth. We talked about the word heart before. As it's used in the Scripture, often it does not refer to your blood pumper. It refers to the seat of your emotions. And if you control your emotions, you do that through the use of your mind. Now, the Scripture here is not saying that the mind of the wicked person is worthless. The Scripture is saying that the mind of the wicked person is of little worth. Of little worth.
Thank you, Dr. Henson. You may send email to Dr. Henson at jhenson@bju.edu. That's jhenson@bju.edu. Or write to Dr. Joseph L. Henson, Box 34621, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, zip code 29614, in the United States of America. You're invited to listen next time for The Bible and Modern Science.